How wonderful it is for us to be able to serve a living God. Jesus Christ is everything that we need every day. What a blessing it is to come and worship him every week. You know, I'd like to thank Elder Joe for setting this up. You know, all everything that he has read today, all the songs, it's all pointing to the point of this sermon. And I'd just like to thank him. And also, he's just had a anniversary. So I'd like to congratulate him. Maybe y'all can send him some emails or congratulate him for the many years he's been married and the wonderful man of God that he is. What a blessing he is to Christ Church of Grace. Well, what a welcome to everyone to Christ Church of Grace today. I am so thankful to be here, thankful that we can serve the living God. Well, we're going to read from Romans 12. It's about a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're just so thankful, Lord, for your wonderful word and what we can glean out of it to become more like you, Jesus, to be conformed into your image. It is by your work through the Holy Spirit, Lord, but it's also by us living, being a living sacrifice to you, that you empower us to live that life. Thank you so much, Lord, for never leaving nor forsaking us. You're always with us, and nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul is now writing about a practical application of the Word of God, being a living sacrifice. People of that day understood what sacrifices were. Both Jew and Gentile used sacrifices in their religious practices. But what does this mean to be a living sacrifice? Paul was writing to the Church of Rome for several reasons. But for the purpose of this sermon, we're going to emphasize the clarification of the gospel. Paul did not start the Church of Rome. It was probably started by someone converted there in the book of Acts when the Apostle Peter gave the sermon on the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, Gentile Christians had worshiped pagan gods. All they knew was that Christ died for their sins. So they went to church to worship Christ as their Savior. The Jewish Christians, on the other hand, were feeling superior to the Gentile Christians because of their heritage as the chosen people of God. Many of the Jewish Christians were still keeping the Sabbath, practicing circumcision, and kept the Jewish dietary laws. These things made them feel superior to the Gentiles. Look what I've done. I'm better than you. This obviously caused a conflict between the Jewish and Gentile Christians. Paul saw their lack of understanding of the gospel, and he wanted to bring a greater clarity for their spiritual growth. If there was anyone who could bring clarity, it was the Apostle Paul. His knowledge of the Word of God was beyond your imagination, and God used his PhD knowledge to write what was considered one of the greatest theological documents ever written. He summed up the heart of the gospel. We are justified by faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you are no longer condemned by sin. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, we are all sinners, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ pays the penalty for your sins. Sin is the great equalizer We all fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus paid the penalty of sin once for all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's get back to Romans 12, 1. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That includes your mind, your will, your heart, and all that you do. Paul is teaching everyone, in view of what Christ has done for you on the cross, since we're all sinners, no one's excluded, sacrifice your wants at the altar. Sacrifice your superior attitude toward the Gentiles. If you want to truly worship God from your heart, this is necessary. Die to your selfish wants. You have been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. This is critical to understand. If you want to live life to the fullest in Christ, accept this. Your personal view of the world is not God's. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. Since you have been purchased by Christ, you're no longer in slavery to your flesh, but now you are a slave to Christ. You are His, and you no longer have the right to live a life any way you want to live. Your rights. Put that on the altar. Give it up. What He has for you is much greater. Believe it. Ask God to help you with your unbelief. I've gone before God many times praying this. I know this is hard. Now that you have been justified by Christ, now we have to live the long process of sanctification. What is sanctification? The Lord has set you apart for His purposes. He has already made you holy and righteous in His sight. Now we must live it. We must live it for the purpose He has called us for. That's His purpose. What's that purpose? I believe Jesus set the standard. He said, I have come to do the will of the Father. Then He sent His apostles to do the will of the Father, preaching the gospel. When He sent them out, He prayed for them. He asked the Father to sanctify them. He said, they are not of this world just as I am not of this world. When Paul gives the mandate to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, look for clues of how to accomplish what he has asked you to do. In Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It is God's good and perfect will for us to be a living sacrifice. It is His perfect will for your mind and your will, your heart and your actions to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a spiritual war over your mind. Now, for your sake, we're not going to address the transformation of your mind until next week. But we will discover how to not conform to the pattern of this world. We live in this world, but God wants us to not be of it. If you are of this world, you will never be an effective Christian. You do have to be rooted in Christian behavior to identify the world. Are you loving God first in all that you are doing to honor and glorify Him? Are you truly loving your fellow man, considering others better than yourself? The world is not just the obvious things like sexual immorality, hate, witchcraft, and all kinds of evil perversions. The devil is much more crafty than that. See, he wants to mold and shape you in the image of this world. He wants to entice you with empty promises of satisfaction from what you get from this world. The devil is always at work to nullify the truth of God. His way is to twist the truth so that you are deceived and confused. We live in a time period where we have access to more Bible teachings than ever before. But because the church is weak in the word of God, we are easily deceived by every wind of doctrine. I want to share with you a few things how the world influences us in more subtle ways. You could even call these things idols, things that steal your intimacy from your relationship with Jesus Christ, things that hinder you from being a living sacrifice. You know, many times we are unwilling to sacrifice these things on the altar and give them up to God. Let's start with what the world calls the most important subject. At least the world considers it the most important subject, and that's yourself. Even though Jesus died for you and paid for your sins, you are now a new creation. But you still want to hold on to your old self. You know, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourself. Don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Deny yourself. Don't live that old life. When you examine yourself, you are seeing the qualities of Christ? Are you sacrificing your own comfort so that others experience and see the love of God in you? The second idol is control. Are you living such a busy schedule, controlling everything in the name of responsibility? You see, God says to sacrifice daily your wants and desires. He has a better life for you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. A better life. What does Jesus have to prove to you that his way is better? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can truly do nothing of worth unless you are being a living sacrifice. Ask God to help you to submit to him and his sovereign control over your life. The last idol is success and achievement. This is one I personally struggle with the most. We say that God comes first in our schedules. Tell a different story. We falsely think that worldly success is how our light shines the most. It's not true. The business practices of this world are evil and tempt you to compromise the principles and values of Christ in you. You can succeed, but you will be faced with issues of integrity. Also, when you succeed, many times we equate that success with having greater value. We get our value from what we achieve. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe what the word of God says? What we have in Christ is beyond anything that can be achieved on this earth. Stop living like the world. Rethink what success really is. Being a living sacrifice to the one that saved you. Now, I know that being a living sacrifice is impossible without the presence of the Holy Spirit operating in power in your life. This is impossible in your flesh. But next week, I will show you the connection between the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can't do this. We are here to glorify you, to enjoy you, to live with you, Lord, forever and ever. And we're looking forward to you living in us and lifing out the life of Christ in us, Lord. Help us to be that living sacrifice. We can't do this, Lord. We know that you're here, but help us to remember that you're here. Help us not to have that spiritual amnesia and always have our mind focused on you, communicating with you throughout the day, Lord, so that your spirit is flowing through us in everything that we do. We thank you so much, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God the Father did send Jesus, and we are here to remember what Jesus did on that night when he was on the cross. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" You see, Jesus is making it personal. He voluntarily laid down his life for you so that you are no longer alienated from him. He said, "Take me. I volunteer to be tortured and beaten to the point that he was unrecognizable. And then he died on the cross for you. When you attempted to live in your flesh, to sin against God, think of Jesus and what he has done for you." So he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for you dying for our sins, Lord. We were separated from you, alienated. But by your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, you died for us so that we may have an eternal relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. And we take this bread in remembrance of him. And it says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we have a new relationship established through the blood spilled on the cross. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood that you spill so that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. And thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Help us to continuously remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us listen to a song, Remembrance.
Sinners in for Until at last I won my race. Remind